we look on the sixth lesson in the series, What Has the Bible Said or Claim for Itself? What has the Bible claimed for itself? Today's lesson, we look on the fact that the Bible claims that it is indispensable. The Bible claims that it is perpetually relevant. I repeat. The Bible claims for itself that it is indispensable, meaning no man can do without the Bible and be at peace with himself and with his God here and hereafter. So that means the Bible is indispensable. You need the Bible. When we speak about something being indispensable, it means you need it. You can't do without it. Food is indispensable. It's not optional. But not only that it is indispensable, the Bible claims that it is perpetually or everlastingly relevant and applicable. Man, we cannot do without the Bible, because we cannot do without God. I'm going to repeat that and go on to explain. Human being, does that human being claim to be an atheist, that he or she doesn't believe in God? That person doesn't even realize that even in his or her atheistic state, in his or her feeling they don't believe in God, they still need the Bible. They cannot do without God. The Almighty God minus the world. Are we all there? The Almighty God minus the world would still equal God. Mr. Mitchell, I don't understand what you're saying. Give me a minute or a few seconds, rather. You have God and the world. If you take away the world, you still have God. If you remove the world, if you said that there is no world, God still is. But the world minus God, you have nothing. Without God, there can be no world. There is no world. But without God, without the world, you still have God. As touching the indispensability of the Bible. That is, that you cannot do without the Bible. And by that it is meant that they are consequences. Men and women who feel, I don't have to read the Bible, I don't have to think about what the Bible says. They are consequences. But as we deal with the indispensability of the Bible, here are some truths that must be kept in mind by every sensible man, every sensible woman. One, no one can see God. Two, not only is it that no one can see God, no one can hear God, no one can understand God. No one can know God's will until that man or that woman sees and knows what is the thus saith the Lord in the scripture. Brother Mitchell, put that another way, you know. No one can see God. No one can know God. No one can understand God or God's will until he get to find out what saith the scripture. There is no way. Wait. But Brother Mitchell, doesn't God show himself in nature? Yes, to a certain extent. But in nature, what nature does? Nature tells us that there is a God, there is a greater power. There is an awesome power that put this world, this earth together. Nature does that. Nature tells us that he who has put this world together must be powerful and wise. Nature does that. But nature does not tell us about the holiness of God. Nature does not teach us about the wrath of God. Nature does not teach us about the love and the mercy of God. All of these must be revealed by God. And this is why no man can see, hear God, understand God, know God, know God's will until he sees and knows what saith the scripture. The Bible is not only a revelation of God, but it is also a revelation of God's will, of God's purpose, of God's nature. But get this. The Bible is also a revelation of man. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? The Bible reveals to us man's nature, man's composition. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Biology. Biology does not teach us that man is body, soul, and spirit. Biology does not teach that. So you go to your university or college and study chemistry and biology, it will not tell you how man is composed. is physical and is spiritual. Is body, soul, and spirit. The Bible tells us not only of man's nature, of man's composition, the Bible tells us of man's origin. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Where man is coming from? The Bible does not only tell us of man's origin, the Bible tells us of man's purpose. Why we are here. And the Bible tells us of man's destination. Where he is heading. Science does not tell us that. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14. Let us hear it. 13 and 14.
And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
At the wise man. Fear. No mortal except Jesus Christ has ever been blessed with the type and the kind of wisdom that Solomon had. And he's saying to us in Ecclesiastes that I've said a lot of things. And he said, you know what? The summary of all that I have said is this.
Fear God.
Fear God.
And keep his commandments.
Whatever he has commanded you to do, do it.
For this is the whole duty of man.
Do you get that? Science does not teach us that. Because it does not know that. What is the point? That the Bible does not only reveal God, the Bible reveals man to himself. It's only as we get to study and understand the Bible and learn from it do we learn about ourselves. Only as man read and believe the Bible does he have a proper knowledge of himself, of his composition, of his origin, of his purpose, of his nature, and of his destiny. We need the Bible. It is indispensable. Responsible. Responsible for so much of our misery, discontent, and happiness. So much of our fear. Responsible for all of these, that is our misery, our discontent, our unhappiness, is man trying to live by bread alone. Let us hear that passage again. Matthew, it is found in the book first, but don't go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go to Jesus Christ quoting it in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Brothers and sisters, visiting friends, Jesus Christ is in effect. Well, first, Christ is not here expressing a subjective private opinion. Christ is not telling us here, this is the way I feel about it. No. Jesus Christ is stating an everlasting truth. What Jesus Christ is doing here is, in effect, saying the Almighty God made us, composed us, put us together, that bread alone, bread stands for food or material things. Bread alone or material thing alone will never give man the fulfillment and the satisfaction and the contentment that he needs. God is the one who has made us, composed us, put us together. And when he put us together, the Almighty God made it that while we need bread, food, material thing, but God so fixed it that we need him also. So, when Jesus Christ, mark you, it was first stated in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, 4, about there. In fact, listen to the passage in Deuteronomy. Listen to the passage in Deuteronomy. Let me hear from around verse. I could easily well ask you to start from verse 2, but I want to cover as much ground in this lesson as I can. Read, brother, if you want, from verse 2.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness.
You see, wait, the children of Israel. Now, they reached the brink of the promised land. Are we all there? They reached the brink of the promised land. It should not have taken them 40 years. Are we all there?
Amen.
It was their own wrongdoing that caused it to take them 40 years. Are we all there? So they reach the brink of the promised land, and the Almighty God is explaining to them why it took them 40 years. Read again for us, brother.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness.
Read on.
To humble thee.
Uh-huh.
And to prove thee.
Mm-hmm.
To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandment or no.
All the rigmarole and the cross and pile that God led them was for what in them to come out. To humble thee is quite instructive.
Amen.
Because that what that is saying, to bring them to the point where they would realize that they are dependent on the Almighty God.
Amen.
That's why God humbled them. Read on, brother.
And he humbled thee.
He humbled you.
And suffered thee to hunger.
And God permitted you to. And that was not talking about the ordinary hunger. It was talk about the hunger where they look right, left, backward, forward, and there was nothing to eat. Watch here. The normal food that they are used to, none of it was around. Read on.
Suffer thee to hunger.
He permit you to hunger.
And fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not.
God was showing them that he can provide food outside of the normal realm. You get it? When God makes sure they reach a point in their journey that there was no wild animal, there was no wild food, then God chose that point to send manna from heaven.
Amen.
You see, the Almighty God brought the Israelite to a point where they had to look to the Almighty God.
Amen.
Wait, Brother Mitchell. Doesn't he do that with us sometime? Yes! A lot of time we just galanso. Like we are the one who create ourselves. We are the one who provide the food we eat. We are the one who provide the strength we use. God sometime have to humble us. And it is out of those situations we learn to depend on God. When the Almighty God fed the Israelites with angel food, it was to show them that man, in fact, was never made to live by material things only. Because there's more to us than material. There's more to us than flesh and blood. So when Jesus Christ said this, we need to understand and to learn, because, as I said, trying to live by bread alone, trying to find total, complete satisfaction in mere material, physical things alone, is responsible for so much of our misery, for so much of our discontent, for so much of our unhappiness, and for so much of our fear, trying to live by material things alone, food, material things. We were created, we were made, we were composed, we were constituted with other needs in mind. Accumulate, get all the material things you can, not just money. Get all the house and land you can. Get all the gold and diamond you can. Get all the amenities that you can. And you're going to find out, when you accumulate to the extent you have no more storeroom to put them, the bank refuses your money because you have too much. Your gold vault that you build all over the place cannot hold any more gold and diamond. You're going to discover at the end of it that there are still dissatisfaction in you. That's right. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because the Almighty God did not make us. When the Almighty God composed us, built us like a man building a machine, put us together with needs and wants and likes and dislikes, and the Almighty God make us, that within ourselves, there's a part there that belongs to him. We did it. There's a part, a spiritual part that belongs to God, and it is in every man and every woman. And you know what? No amount of gold, house, land, and money can satisfy that part. Are we all there? So when Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, Christ was stating not an opinion, but a fact, a divine fact. And I'm saying to you, Christian, that let us try to live by bread alone. As I said, bread in the text stands for food or material things. It is still foolish. In fact, it is silly, foolish, and idiotic for any of us to go out there by a car. And then you get in the car to drive it, but you tell yourself up here that all the car needs is petrol, is gas. But let me tell you, that car not going to serve long. So if you're buying a car, remember the car also needs oil. In fact, that why we put a lot of emphasis, I have to put some gas in the car, and by tomorrow you have to put more gas in the car. But you know what? When the gas runs out, all that is done, the car stops. That's not going to mash up your car. But you see, when the oil runs out, you don't have no car anymore. Well, brothers and sisters, it's the same thing. To tell, for us to be, have it up here, to try to live like only house, land, money, and material things can satisfy us. You're only multiplying your misery. When you go through life with that attitude and all set, that only house, land, and money, material things, that's what I need, then you are creating more discontent for yourself than anything else. When Jesus Christ spoke here, he wanted not only those that were a part of his immediate audience, but also us to realize that we were never constituted or composed to live by material things alone. Lord, we were made for thee, and we are restless until we rest in thee. I don't believe there's any other writer that has ever expressed this fact as simply and as solidly and as plainly as C.S. Lewis. And I've shared him with you many times. But his point on this matter is so relevant to this lesson. What are we on? That the word of God is indispensable. When something is indispensable, it means you cannot have a peaceful, purposeful life without that thing. In fact, in some of the things that are indispensable, you cannot live without it. Oxygen is indispensable. If you don't have oxygen, you die. As I've said, while you have heard this already, but I'm never tired of listening to C.S. Lewis on this very point, that mere material things, however precious they are, cannot take God's place in our lives. Remember, it's no quash he's speaking here, C.S. Lewis. Head of Renaissance and Medieval Literature at Cambridge University, head of the English department at that great institution, he said, what Satan put into the hearts, the heads of our remote ancestors was the idea that they could be like God. They could set up their own, set up on their own as if they had created themselves outside of God and apart of God. And out of that hopeless attempt has come nearly all that we call human history. Out of the attempt to try to live without God and without God's word, come all the attempt. He said, from that comes money, poverty, ambition, war, prostitution, classes, empires, slavery. Listen, C.S. Lewis said, the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. You get the point? Man has been trying something other than God to make him happy. And C.S. Lewis said, the history of man, out of that history comes money, comes poverty, comes ambition, comes war, comes prostitution, comes classes, comes empire, comes slavery. Out of that, man trying to find happiness outside of God. Is he finished, Brother Mitchell? No. He said the reason why it can never succeed is this: God made us. The Almighty God invented us like a man invent a machine or an engine. A car is made to run on petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. That's a fact. In fact, I was one of the persons who suffered when a few years ago, greedy business, criminal-minded businessmen were adding additive to the gas. That when you go to the gas station and think you are putting the 87 octane or the 90 octane, they were adding other things to it. And you are driving on your car, a punta punta, and a po po. It was bad gas. Because somebody feel that the car would not respond to the additive that they, it's more money they want to make you. They add, be it kerosene or whatever. No, the car is built by Toyota, Ford, GM to consume petrol. Put anything else in it, the car going to punta punta. Wait, wait, that's why so many lies are punta puntering. Because we are trying to find peace and happiness outside of the Almighty God. That's what C.S. Lewis is saying. This is why it is just not good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. There are men and women who want God to bless them with good health, money, good job, peace and contentment, but they want to push God one side. The business about studying God's word, worshiping God regularly. No, that's not my thing. You can never have God working with you if you do not embrace Him as a part of your life. Because God make you like that, that there is something in your nature that belong to God. God is the only one who can occupy that part in you. It is spiritual. When you try to occupied with money, material things, social activities, you only find more misery, more discontent, more unhappiness, more dissatisfaction. God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from Himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing, C.S. Lewis said, for you to find happiness outside of God and God's word. When Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, Christ was not expressing an opinion. It is a fact. You cannot find the fulfillment, the joy, the peace, the contentment, the challenge, the purposefulness in your life apart from the Almighty God. It is impossible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Are we all there? I'm closing. We reach only part of the lesson about the indispensability of the Word of God, the Bible, and the fact that it is perpetually relevant. I don't even touch yet the fact that it is perpetually relevant. As I close, be mindful that you cannot discover God. The Almighty God is beyond the reach of logic, and the Almighty God is outside the boundaries of discovery. Talk about logic. You cannot cipher God. You don't bump into God accidentally. That's right. You can't. You don't find God at, you said, I'm driving to Stony Hill, there's a point up there that God will be passing. You don't find God like that. Why? God is a revealed God. You're going to know about God what God has revealed about Himself. Silence. At this very moment, I'm not talking about the radio playing there over there. Right at this very moment in this building, there is music being played right now in this building that you and I are not hearing that music doesn't mean the music is not there. Are we all there? Are we all there? For you and for me to hear the music that is playing right now in this building, we have to have the proper receiving set. That's one. And we have to tune in on the right frequency. If anybody has a radio now
and tune in to FM or AM, you will discover that I'm right, that music is in the building. But we are not tuning to it. I said that to say this. God is not hard to find. But you know what? You have to have the right receiving set. That is our mind. And the mind have to tune into God. Then you will find God. Hopefully next week I'll say more about this. Again, you do not discover God. God is a revealed God. And you have to tune into where God reveals himself. That's why the Bible is indispensable. Oh, I'm so tempted to say more, but suffice it for what has been said so far. If you're here today, remember when Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of God's mouth." Jesus Christ was not expressing an opinion. He was stating an everlasting truth that there is no way any man or woman, whatever that person may pretend, there is no way any man or woman can find true peace and fulfillment apart from Jesus Christ, apart from the Word of God. Why? Because when the Almighty God constituted us, made us, composed us, put us together, the Almighty God created a place within us, spiritual, that can rightfully be occupied only by God and His Word. Every man needs the Bible. Every man needs Jesus Christ. If you're here today, don't try to live that life that was given to you by God. Don't try to live it without God. Align your life now with the Almighty God through Christ. How do I do that? You must hear the truth of the gospel. And we are not here telling you that you have to know all that the Bible teaches. No. You have to know that Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, died there to pay the price for your sin, and that you can make Jesus Christ your Savior by wanting to submit your life to His will. And His will include you believing in Him that He was the Son of God, you repenting of your sin, meaning what, Mr. Mitchell? Making a decision to turn from all the wrong and godly sinful things that you knew to be wrong. The Bible calls that repentance. And you know what else the Bible says on that? That except you repent, you are going to perish. That's what the Bible says. Are you a Christian when you repent? No, you must be willing to confess your faith, your belief in Jesus Christ, and then get baptized. Why be baptized? It is in baptism that the Almighty God through Jesus Christ remove all your past sin, all the wrongs that you have done in the sight of God from you were a little boy, little girl, up until now, all the sinful, wrong thing you've done in God's sight. Wait. Did you know that all the sinful thing you have done, the Almighty God hold them against you up till now, if you are not a Christian? Many people don't know that, and this is why I take these few seconds after. All the sinful things you have been doing all your life, you just saying, God, forgive me for my sin, that does not remove your sin. Because you have not yet been born in God's family through baptism. So just, God, forgive me for my sin, that doesn't help you. That will help you when you become a Christian. So you must be baptized so that all your past will be erased, your past wrong, sin, and godliness. That is done through baptism for the removal of your sin. You can do that today. You can come right now and do that as we stand and sing.